focusing, of course, on the Book of Ecclesiastes, which is where they took the lyrics from. The Bible, in case you're wondering. The birds and turn, turn, turn. Coming up very shortly, we will be speaking to Andy Jones, the relationship expert. And Jane, obviously, the Mercedes-Benz. It's doing the business, though, presumably, in terms of it keeps you going.
I've just got an MOT in Lincoln for another year.
There we
so
are,
I think
you
it's
see?
On its last legs. No. But I would like it to see 20 years.
Of course.
But you see, my view of computers and cars is this. They go down in value every year. So if you keep renewing them and buying new ones, it's just a hole in your pocket.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
like keeping a boat. Maintenance of a boat would
precisely.
Be the same.
Yeah. We'll find out what Andy Jones thinks about this and other things in terms of partnerships and cars after this. Makes perfect sense, really. No, it's not my Rover 25. It's a completely different vehicle. Nationally, the most attractive car is a new blue Ford hatchback, Jane. Before buying a Fiesta, people should check their hottest motors locally. To address this, I mean, it's been working its way through the show, as you'll appreciate. We're delighted to welcome now the ace journalist and relationship writer, also known as Man About Town. That'll be Andy Jones. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, what an introduction. And madness driving in my car as well. We really thought this through.
You see what we're going through on that one, basically.
I know, fantastic, wonderful. Thanks very much for having me on.
When you got producer Rachel on the case, it's a truly wonderful experience, is all I can say. Moving on, this particular survey, reveals a whole range of results. The top three most attractive types of car. The hatchback, the electric, and of course that most attractive car, the new blue hatchback. Jane, the most unattractive car is a pink electric one.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a pink car.
Oh, no.
But I think electric cars have got to come down in price before I'd buy
one. All right,
personally.
Okay.
But I do harbour a fantasy for a sports car, I have to say. Oh, I haven't got the money. But wouldn't it be nice to have an Aston Martin?
just to set the scene, Andy, Jane has a 19-year-old Mercedes. So,
I thought you were going to say 19-year-old toy boy. That
oh, no, if
so.
Only. Are you offering then, Andy?
I'm not quite 19, but I could be a toy boy. But indeed, well, these survey results are from autotrader.co.uk, who have 14,000 new cars themselves. So if you're tempted by these results, go there. But the most attractive type of car was a hatchback, unbelievably, with 27% of the vote. Brand new blue hatchback. Sports car, 21%, only came second. Convertible, 14%. Most unattractive cars, I hope you don't drive one of these, Alex, in pink, orange or yellow were the most unattractive colours. Pink, orange or yellow. Electric or a people carrier or an estate. And we'll talk about why those are in a minute. I mean, the thing is, Alex, we live in an area of kind of, you know, we're just coming out of a financial crisis. People want something a little bit more dependable. So those guys, as Jane was saying, that drive a sports car, they're initially very attractive. But is this a man you want to settle down with? If a guy's only got two seats in his car, is he really going to want kids? And so a four-seater, four-door hatchback is suddenly a little bit more attractive.
Yes.
You see, so where does a Rover 25 silver three-door sit in the whole
thing? What colour?
It's silver. Yeah.
I think that was about six.
That's not bad.
Reasonably high up. Well, the thing is, people want dependability. But then again, on the flip side of it, what could be more dependable than a people carrier or an estate? Yet they came very, very low. In the most unattractive cars, 4% said a people carrier was attractive, 6% said an estate car. And if you're driving one of those eco-friendly, ethical electric cars, apparently they're the least attractive. Apparently
well,
that's a little
ugly,
bit too safe.
They
are, but you see more and more of them in the cities because they get fair, you know, they get all kinds of tax breaks and, you know, they get kind of congestion charge let-offs and all these kind of things. I think people want something safe, but not too safe. I think that's the key, isn't it? And of course, we think, you know, a car shouldn't be really that important, but it's not just a status symbol. It tells a lot about what you are, And it's intrinsically linked into the way we date. I mean, if you think about all the big film scenes of all time, some of the most romantic ones happening in cars. You know, we have our first kiss in a car very often. You say, I love you to someone for the first time. And very often we break up, sadly, in cars. The number one place to break up is actually in your car. Drive someone home at the end of the day and then say, I'm getting out and I'm getting out of this relationship.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, it is. Yeah. Well, it is. But cars are kind of very much interwoven in how our relationships are.
I'm sure that Ford didn't think about this when he put together the any car you want as though it's black. It was astounding.
Well, the Model T, yeah, no, yes. Didn't he say you can have any colour you want as long as it's black?
Exactly.
And what little did he know? If he had blue ones, maybe he'd have sold even more.
That's a very definite thought.
So really, when we say attractive in this survey, what we mean is people playing safe, how they buy to play safe.
I think the trick is that you want a little bit of dare and a little bit of excitement, but not something too much. I also think there's a little bit of kidology that goes on with these studies. If you're asked to name what car you find most attractive, even though some people are very honest, like Jane, a lot of people will think Aston Martin, you know, Jaguar, you know, Audi TTA or whatever. But then they think, oh, I better not put that. I better put either what my husband already drives or what I think people would like me to say. Do you see what I mean? There's a little bit
yes.
of, I don't want to look too vain. I don't want to look too grasping. But it's a big thing. I think a lot of people are taking longer to settle down now. And so therefore, when they look for a partner, if they're of a certain age, if they're maybe looking to settle down, they think, you know, that car's lovely, but it's only got two seats. Where am I going to put the kids' seat? Is this man ready to settle down? How many men that drive sports cars do you think he looks like a dependable figure, you know, a dependable father? Is this someone I'm going to be able to settle down with?
Jane?
Well, I'm not sure if women kind of just put dependable as the first criteria.
Wow. It's not the sexiest one, is it? Also, on the flip side, there is obviously people expect the sports car to be first. On the flip side, if guys are asked, do guys really want to date or go out with a girl who's got a lady who's got a sports car? Because then it questions a little bit their alpha male status. Oh, most men, they'd love a go on it at the weekend, the car. But are they really that comfortable having a partner who drives a better car than they do, perhaps? Someone that clearly earns more money, that someone's got a bit more status. And so, you know, the results are kind of levelled out a little bit by that too, I think.
Well, that's very sad what you've just said, isn't it? Because what you're saying is that men can't handle powerful women.
They can handle powerful women. They just can't handle powerful women with powerful cars. I think that's what I'm saying.
So you're okay as long as you're very humble.
No, I think it's basically it's a little bit of kind of I think people are being honest. I think with these surveys where they don't have to impress anybody, I think they kind of think, well, you know, actually, I would quite like a boyfriend or girlfriend with a sports car, but really, at the end of the day, I think I'd probably be a bit of a risk. And also, is somebody that's got a sports car, are they going to constantly be looking to upgrade you? You know, these people have clearly got the finer things in life. Are they going to trade you in for a better model a little bit down the line?
Well, that's interesting. So you think a sports car could be symptomatic of a kind of a flightiness?
Well, it is. I mean, certainly somebody who owns a sports car, they're probably a bit more risk. You know, they're not risk averse. They're somebody who probably makes spontaneous decisions. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of boring sports car drivers out there, but typically this is someone who likes to drive around with the wind in their hair, and maybe there's somebody who would say in a relationship, actually, I'm not happy, I'm going. Whereas somebody, perhaps hatchback man, perhaps people carrier man, perhaps all the other summer cars, might say that, you know, he's going to stick by it. I mean, it's like the old political equation a few years ago, wasn't it? They were talking about they need to appeal to Mondeo man, the average man in the street, the Mondeo man. And it's a little bit like this now. People have characteristics that they associate with cars, and that's a big thing from the Auto Trader survey.
I think that's a great shame. I would prefer a James Bond character.
But you deserve somebody a bit risque. But you deserve to be swept off your feet rather than driven away at 15 miles an hour into a pedestrianised area.
I think you called it absolutely spot on there, Andy. That's very much Professor James Chapman, swept off our feet in every sense of the word with respect to historical scenarios. Andy, it's been fantastic sharing some news on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, which is wonderful. The cars thing will continue on a week in which we found out that the York Maze has actually used used Jeremy Clarkson as one of the greatest living Yorkshiremen. This is even more stunning, you know, in terms of news, etc. The funding the actual survey is done by Auto Trader, as we mentioned. Andy, two final questions for your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting and relatively calm, but still quite exciting, radio link with us on the Madrid Drive this morning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just wondering what car Jeremy Clarkson really does drive.
Exactly.
I'm sure he's possibly not a blue hatchback. having seen the release of what he's been paid these days, possibly. But then again, he's breaking relationships up, and he's been, I think, although his lawyer might correct me, he might have been divorced. So, you know, are you happy having a more expensive car?
He did have problems, didn't he, with his wife because he was having affairs.
Oh, well, please.
So he's obviously
I think it was an alleged affair, wasn't it?
Alleged affair. Sorry.
I know we've had the legal specialist on earlier, Jane, but please, we can't go this way. Andy, final question for your good self. Can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
Oh, yeah, we'd love to come on. Thank you very much.
Andy Jones, ace journalist, top relationship writer, and indeed, it's too long to list the range of things he's been involved with.
Dating journalists, absolutely fine, Alex.
There you are, dating
journalists.
Although
the rest of it, if I could get it on a business card, it'd be there.
You've got the Times, Sunday Times, Daily Mail, Mail on Sunday, Sun, Evening Standard, Telegraph, Daily Star, Metro, etc., etc. Andy Jones, we salute you. Take care now. Thank you very much.
No problem.
We'll do it all. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
The one thing about various people's views is you get all sorts of things coming through, Jane, as we're just
you
sort of seeing
it.
In terms of coordinating things. That almost brings us to the end of the sequence for today. We certainly thank Liv Clark, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Chris Newton, William Sitwell and Andy Jones for taking part telephonically on the production. But a few more plugs, of course, for the Cartoon Museum and, of course, your fantastic work and the ongoing BBC Roadshow. Let's just let people know where they can actually find things out on the internet, on the web and so on.
Right. Well, in terms of the BBC World War One at Home, there's a lovely website, so BBC World War One at Home. And then there's all sorts of things that you can put in a postcode, put in your postcode, and it comes up what the BBC is doing on the centenary of the First World War in nearest to you in your area.
Which is fantastic. Now, lovely person has actually just joined us because she's a lovely person in all sorts of ways. She used to be faculty coordinator, officer, and all sorts of things. She's now PA to Ian Packer, amongst other things, and a whole range of things. It is Joy Knight. Joy, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. And just in case people were forgetting and thought, can we have that Joy jingle once again?
The Midweek Drive with Alex Lefchuk and Joy Knight on Siren 107.3 FM.
Because that, Jane, was when Joy used to be a regular on the Wednesday shows, but then she went and had another child. Still, never mind.
How selfish of me.
Yes. Joy, we've been talking about cars. Recently.
Have you?
Exactly. In terms of the attractiveness that we actually have in terms of cars. And how you so what car do you drive in the Knight household?
A Golf.
Oh, that's okay then. It's not blue. Is it blue?
It's a black Golf. Is
it a hatchback?
Yes, it is. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. I love my Golf, actually.
The favourite is a blue hatchback.
The favourite is a blue
according
hatchback.
According to Auto Trader survey.
Exactly, in terms of the survey which suggests this is how you choose your partner. And did Richard's choice, your husband Richard, did the car he drove influence your relationship? Because this is critical.
No.
No?
No. He had a clapped-out old Volvo when I met him, actually. So
there we are. And I've got a clapped-up old Mercedes.
And happiness will continue throughout the whole system. And have you been involved with this English conference that's been going on?
I've been helping on the registration desk, but no other input other than that this year. But I'm going to write a paper, because the next one's in 2 years' time, so I'm going to set myself a goal.
You've got your postgraduate qualification.
I have, yes, I'm qualified to do so.
So where do you think English is going with respect to this, then? What is the future for
What
English?
Is happening now?
What is happening?
What is happening now?
Yeah, exactly. People were asking the same thing 100 years ago, Jane, I think.
Well, you know, it is a, yeah, throughout history, organisations keep reinventing themselves and reorganising, don't they? So,
gives us a purpose in life, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You just have to take the rough with the smooth.
Exactly. Professor Jane Chapman, have you enjoyed your return to the Midweek Drive?
Very much, Alex. Always enjoy your show.
And would you be up for joining us again in the very near future?
Definitely.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Obviously, we'll keep things going. There's the October the 1st performance. There's a whole range of things. And we will hopefully get down to see you at the Cartoon Museum in London, or at least see the exhibition and do a piece with
that. That would be nice. Yeah.
Joy, thank you for your contribution as ever. Perfectly formed.
Tiny contribution.
Still perfectly formed. News coming up, a whole range of other good things happening on Siren 107.3 FM throughout the day. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye.